Jerry.
Sorry, we can hear you. I
Shay,
can't hear her. Did she ask for private?
Yeah, Shay, we're not hearing you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it's very difficult to hear her.
Looks like she's disconnecting and reconnecting. We'll give her a moment.
Mr. Chairman, I can do roll call if you're okay with it.
One, go ahead. We'll just keep things rolling.
Okay. Michael Dobb. Jeggy.
Here.
Ryan Kirkland.
Present. Just confirming you heard I'm present.
Thank you. Eddie Cook.
Here.
Jeffrey Fleetman. Director Fleetman, you're on mute. If you could unmute. Jeffrey Fleetman.
So thank you. That's the way my staff likes me, is on mute. So I'm here.
Thank you, Director. Doug Lang.
Present.
David Byers.
Here.
Tim Romer.
Here.
Lev Gonick. J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Senator Rick Gray. Representative Quang Nguyen, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Here, Quang Nguyen.
Quang Nguyen. Thank you, Representative. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I apologize for the pronunciation.
Welcome, Quang.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Richard Stavnak.
Rebecca Pereira here for Richard Stavnak.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes your roll call, and you do have a quorum present.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. All right. We'll go ahead and remind folks that this is a public meeting, and if any members of the public, you have a comment on the agenda, we posted a link where you could submit those comments, and the staff will review those, and we will seek to disposition them. Our first item of business will be approval of the April 21st recording of our prior meeting as the meeting minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve of the minutes from the last meeting.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
I second. This is Jiggy.
Okay, I'm going to give that to Dave. I heard you speak first. Thanks, Jiggy. Stay tuned. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, thank you. Next, we'll handle our consent agenda. There was one item included in the consent agenda, which was just a date change in the Office of Economic Opportunity data system project. That's been reviewed by the asset oversight staff and was recommended for consent. I will ask the question if anyone wants to have any further discussion on that before we deal with the consent agenda. Okay, then I will entertain a motion with regard to the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Tim. Do we have a second?
I'm Jiggy. I'm seconding.
Thank you, Jeggy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that carries unanimously. First item up for presentation is the Department of Economic Security.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Sudhi Saed. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here by members of the Department of Economic Security project team. I will let the individuals introduce themselves, after which I will give a brief overview of this action item.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. This is Laura Wright, the IT administrator for DES's Division of Developmental Disabilities.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. This is Durga Patla, Chief Technology Officer for DES.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on May 20th, 2020, the DDD HIPAA TCS project was approved with conditions by ITAC committee. The goal of this project is for the Division of Developmental Disabilities to implement a new software that provides additional features and controls to ensure the claims processing procedure is in compliance with the access contract and federal rules. The Division of Developmental Disabilities, DDD, receives Medicaid funding through a contract with Access to provide services to citizens determined eligible for DDD services. The DES project team has joined us today to request approval to extend the project's end date. At this time, I will turn this over to the project team to present additional information regarding this change request and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. This slide is just a review of the project purpose. On January 7th of 2019, Access's Division of Healthcare Management determined that DES-DDD was in violation of its contract regarding claims and payment processing and issued a contract action notice to CURE in response to DDD's failure to utilize the healthcare procedure coding system and standard claim forms for reimbursing their contracted providers in accordance with federal and state requirements. DDD engaged a third-party company, WellSky, to resolve this notice to CURE. Next slide, please. Our change request involves a project schedule change that was created by DDD in conjunction with WellSky, with much input and review by the project management team. The increase in schedule includes additional time to develop and review interfaces, as well as increased time for end user training. The project management team has reviewed and confirmed that the requested adjustment would help ensure a successful implementation of this solution. The project management team is requesting a schedule extension to January 31st of 2022. Next slide, please. Our prior go live date with this implementation was scheduled for June 23rd of this year. The new requested go live target is September 1st of this year. The requested project end date is now January 31st, 2022. And again, this change request is for time extension only. There is no change in cost or scope. This change is a request to move the project end date from June 23rd of 2021 to January 31st of 2022 for the completion of the WellSky HIPAA TCS project. While the WellSky rollout is expected by September 1st of this year, the PIDGE end date of January 31st of next year is required for the additional closeout tasks and invoicing processing. Next slide, please. This slide is a graphical representation of the requested change in our timeline. Next slide, please. This slide shows the changes in completion dates for the remaining milestones, reflecting the requested schedule changes. The measures of success remain the same: a successful implementation of the software application, DDD becomes compliant with federal and state requirements for Medicaid billing, and DDD satisfies the notice to CURE action with Access resolving our contract action. Next slide, please. DES-DDD is requesting approval for extending the testing and rollout phases of this project to ensure delivery of a high quality product that meets the needs of our intended users. This includes moving the project end date out to January 31st of next year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding this change.
Okay, I'll open up to the committee. Any questions with regards to the presentation or content? Mr. Fleetham.
Yes, and all for bearing with me. I'm the new guy here, so I wasn't in the beginning with these projects in the beginning. So if I ask a question that's been handled previously, let me know. So just a question. I understand that projects sometimes never end on the date that we originally start with. So, but how was the additional development time for the well sky determined? Were those things, were they not considered during the original discovery?
Mr. Fleetham, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, these were all considered at the start of the project. It's just been determined through working through the project. There have been additional considerations, and a few of our original risks were realized, causing us to need to extend the implementation by about a month and a half or so.
Okay. And to add on to that, what exactly are the additional projects? You may have mentioned them, but I may have missed them. What are the additional projects within that are going to be within the service dates?
There are no additional projects. This is one project to make some to roll out a new claims and processing system that meets Medicaid requirements. The additional time is for existing tasks that were in the original request.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, any other questions from committee members? Okay, if not, then I will turn it back to you, Sudhi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Assets recommending that the change request be approved with the following conditions. Should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology, scope of work, or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the pitch to reflect the changes and submit to ADOA Asset and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds.
Any questions on those conditions?
No. Mr. Chairman, I would move approval of the project extension as recommended by the staff.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
Second. Jeff Fleetham, second.
Thank you, Jeff. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That unanimously carries. Thank you, Sudhi and the DES team. We will move on to our next item, which is an informational update from education on the school finance payment system.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins, and I am an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined today by members of the Department of Education, who will now introduce themselves and provide an informational update on the overall status of their school finance payment system replacement project.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Satish Patisapu. I am the Chief Information Officer at the Arizona Department of Education. I am here today to provide you with an informational update on where we stand on the payment system project. As you can see, the overall health of the project is green, and as of last update, all the boxes have been checked, like, you know, in green color. Schedule-wise, we are moving smoothly, as well as, you know, milestone deliverables are getting completed on time, and there is good traction and synergy between both the school finance and IT team. We are also on track with the budget. There are more details that I'm going to provide in the subsequent slides. As such, there is only one risk which has been pending for a very long time. This is related to the document review committee approval before we start the development. And other than that, there is no other risk. And so far, so good on issues. We have had none as of yet. So knocking on wood. Moving on, this project updates, the way we have developed this is we divided it into three categories: a document review, which is which goes to through technical advisors, as well as the review committee, which consists of all the several LEA representatives, and then the milestone updates where we stand on approvals, and the third one is meetings and communication. I think it has become common that, you know, pretty much every month we have a document review committee meeting. Like last time, coming Friday, we have one. There are several documents that were approved by the technical advisors. Those are the documents that have been submitted for the DRC to review, and we will have a conversation on Friday to go through them. And the next leg of the DRC will happen in June, and for which technical advisors are getting documentation so that they can review and provide their blessings before we can conduct the review committee meeting in June. As far as milestones, you can see that there is quite a bit of activity that has been happening, and you can see that there are a couple of releases that are sitting in UAT. There are more stats that I'm going to provide in the next slide. There is another UAT release that is shaping up to be released for school finance business team to work on. And moving into, and you can see that there is a milestone related conversation. There's a big blurb, basically where we stand on that milestone. We will be completing all the activities within the original scope, but on top of it, school finance is going to come up with the LEA training. Basically what they do is they work with LEAs on, this is a year long process. Like, you know, whenever they meet with them, there are activities that will be conducted. And during that, there will be training provided on this new reports that are getting delivered. Like I stated earlier, we have a meeting coming up on May 21st, and also there is a future meeting on June 22nd that will be conducted with the document review committee members. The ask report for the next phase has been created by ADE in conjunction with when working with ADOA, and it has been submitted to OSPB for the most recent update. There's a change request that is in progress that we are planning on coming in front of the committee for the next phase. So that work is in, I would say, progress. Next slide, please. Like I stated earlier, there are a couple of UAT releases that are in flight, and that is why that information couldn't fit in the previous slide. There are, you can see the stats, quite a bit of progress since the last time that we met in ITAC. And things are looking pretty good, and we are on target on completion of our activities and also gearing up for the next release, the UAT release, I mean. Next slide, please. Thank you. I am ready for any questions.
Okay, any questions from the committee? Mr. Fleetum, you need to unmute. You need to
unmute. So, sorry about that. Maybe I missed something. You had an at-risk item, I think, in here when I was reading through the documents. Do you have everything that you need, all the resources and timelines that you need to get that, or are you going to need some additional approvals?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleetum, members of the committee, yes, sir. We have all the information. The risk is basically we should get approval for every single requirement before we start the next leg on that specific requirement, next activity on the requirement. So this Friday, we are seeking approval for the last functional requirement document with the committee. And once that is done, that should satisfy the mitigation strategy on the risk. So we have everything, and we already provided all the material to the review committee. So we're hoping that, you know, it gets approved and that mitigates the risk.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, well, I had one question on, I think it was the, yep, that slide there. Thank you. Just to be sure I was understanding the change in responsibilities on communication and training clearly. It sounds like maybe everything previously had been assigned to the IT team to execute and deliver, and now you're going to create the user guides and training materials, but the business is going to take on the communication outward and the training of that. Is that right? Is that the change?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is correct. The material will be created and delivered on time. We will not be missing the delivery of the milestone on that. However, this is a practice that School Finance has in meeting through with the LEAs and representatives from LEAs throughout the year, and they will do targeted training on the reports that are getting developed and, you know, as such.
Okay, now that makes sense to me. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Okay, I'll turn it back to you, Jake.
Brett, I think we can go next slide, please. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jacob Crimmins, and I am an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I'm now joined by members of the Department of Child Safety who will introduce themselves and provide an informational update on the overall status of their child's replacement project, also known as Guardian.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is James Dean. I'm the PMO and finance manager for this program and supporting DCS. Also today with us is the acting CIO, Matt Grant, who is also on the line. If you want to say hi, Matt. Unless he's also muted.
Yeah, I was muted now.
Perfect. All right, so we're going to go ahead and walk you through our standard monthly update of the health of the program. Keep in mind, just like last time, we have two kind of separate updates for you. This first one is on the actual program project scope that's ongoing. And that's what's us to get to done in order to close out the program itself. And then a little bit of our maintenance and operations update, just so you can kind of see how things are evolving and how we're ongoing from a support perspective, because we have most of the program and maintenance and operations, but we still have defined scope we have to complete to close this out. We are still showing the program, the project is yellow, and you'll notice that our schedule went from yellow to red, with all the other items as green, and the issues are yellow because we do have issues, but we are actively tracking them. The reason why our schedule is red at the present moment, which is what we've been communicating for a while now, is we still have two pieces of scope to complete, which is our reporting and our child's decommissioning. And as of right now, we're going through the efforts to ensure that we have everything planned accordingly. And the way things are looking right now, as we go through those planning efforts, we will be ending, those items will go past the 6/30/2021 date that we currently have as our program end date. So as from an objective criteria standpoint, we wanted to make sure that this was visible to everybody, so we went into red. We are continuing to communicate with ASSET to work on what would like to be done once we have that new schedule updated and finalized and the new end date known. Next slide, please. So this is an oldie but goodie. This is our program heat map. So everything that is in here is our scope to close out the program. As stated before, reporting is still in red. We've had some actually really good successes that I'll talk about when we get to the next slide. Our support for day two, you'll see the child decommissioning of the old system known as Childs, that is still out there. And then we're actually very close to closing out the knowledge transfer item, so that should be done with well within the end date of the program. So we don't see any items from there pushing or causing a delay in the schedule like reporting or child's decommissioning well. Next slide. So here's kind of our project updates. So last time we were still completing our warranty period. That actually successfully completed in Sprint 10, and you'll see the final details on that when we get to the next slide. As always, we'll always monitor the system for bugs and data issues. Our architecture is still stable. Some of the positive, additional positive things, our reports team, we have onboarded quite a bit of resources. As you know, we were having some challenges with getting resources and having to rebuild our reports team. So not only has that team finally been built back up, they're getting organized, and we actually have reports moving through the stages of development. We even have two that have been actively, that have been approved by the business, which is awesome. And then we have three that are actually out for business validation. So they are moving through the processes, so we are gaining momentum there. So that's really good news. And that is still a critical focus for the team. And wherever we need to, if they are reports that are critical for the time being, those are prioritized by the Assistant Director of Budget and Finance, Robert Navarro, and the Deputy Director, Shalom Jacobs. They're making sure that whatever we are looking at gets prioritized accordingly, so there isn't any risk of missing anything, or if we have challenges, that gets communicated out to anybody that a report is owed for. LC commissioning planning is underway. So that is still ongoing as we're talking today to find out exactly what the impacts are of the delays in child's decommissioning, because you know we have to work with our partner at DES, which is where the old system is housed. So we're working through that. The service transition, so all of those knowledge transfer sessions, that yellow box on the previous slide, that is still currently projected to finish at the end of this month. And then our summary focus areas haven't changed from a program scope perspective, just the stabilization, the continued project delivery for reports, and the child's decommissioning. Next slide. So this is, which you'll always see, is kind of our sprints, what we plan for each sprint, and then what we were calling release zero, which was our go live release. So we had 736 bugs requirements of different variations from severity zero to four that were worked on throughout that warranty period. We closed all 736 of those. We were confident enough that anything new that was coming along wasn't as a result of the base system. These are just new maintenance and operation items. So it really did make us confident that we could move forward with switching everything to maintenance and operations. The last time you saw this, you'll remember, was probably about 1,000. So all of the warranty period bugs were segregated and put into this box so that we have that for historical purposes. And now we have our maintenance and operations items being tracked under a different dashboard. So next slide. So this is that heat map for maintenance and operations. There's a couple of top issues that we're working on, and the summary of updates that you see, the bullet points. I'll let Matt do a quick overrun of this, but before I do, one thing is, well, you see a lot of yellow, orange, and red. Red obviously reported for big reasons. Yellow, red, and orange don't necessitate an issue with the system. This has just been a really good way for the business and IT to work together to understand if there is a system challenge versus a business process challenge. It's difficult, but you can't equate like a red box or an orange box or yellow box with like a requirement or a bug, because since we're looking at everything holistically and how everybody can work together. But from a top issues perspective, Matt, if you wanted to touch on a couple of those items.
Sure. So first off, this report, this heat map is going to go stagnant for a while, because we're going to, instead of updating this we have weekly meetings on this. We're repurposing those meetings to take care of the more in-depth business process issues on it, so that we can change them from orange and red to a yellow and a green on it. We're struggling with some time there. But our top issues is the family functioning assessments on it. We've moved officially this week to a 2-week sprint on it, specifically because these issues that we are addressing now are larger and more complex, and we're not able to get through them development-wise in a week's time frame. And so this first sprint we're doing, the next 2 weeks, is all related to that FFA. We had a little bit of a misalignment on that one where our we developed it one way and it's not quite the way that the business needs to use it. So we're making some adjustments there, making some adjustments to their business process as well as some adjustments to the application itself on it. That really is more around the data that was used for it, and we're having to do a pretty good sized data cleanup on that one. The financial offsets, we're still working on that. We don't have a solution fully figured out on that one yet. The ad hoc reporting, we continue to work on central registry, all of those things. The ODS infrastructure stability, we've made some significant progress on. While we have some work to do still, we are very confident in the stability now. We're able to fail over on our servers, and our availability groups are all functioning properly like they should on it. So we're able to do the work on those servers as we need to and keep them patched and all the good stuff that needs to go on there. Child's decommissioning is a big project that we're still on, the big part of it still. Part of our holdup on that is document migration. When we went live, we migrated all of the active documents, and now we've got about 3 million inactive for some older cases that we need to migrate off. We've migrated those onto a network share at this point in time, and now we're just working on the metadata that we need out of Childs to align with those so that we can align them in Guardian and bring them in through a DIP process. So that's just taking, that just takes time to do. Once we get that aligned and we validate that we've got the information we need, then we'll be able to move through the Childs decommissioning a bit faster. And that's about it. You know, the rest of the stuff is just kind of ongoing work that we're doing as a normal part of the operations on it. When we do get back to the heat map, we are trying to look for ways where we can give some additional text there so there's a little more meaning to what red is on it versus a orange versus a yellow. Our initial thoughts are if we've got more than, three or more than five, whatever the number happens to be, severity one bugs, then it would be red. If there's less than that, maybe it's orange. But being able to give you some more of that quantitative information.
Perfect. So, and Child's decommissioning is still part of our actual project scope. So you're going to continue to get updates on that. And then, as Matt said, when we bring this back, the nice part about it is, I mean, it's always great to see sort of a health chart like this, but it doesn't really help if we don't provide some additional background and a legend or a key as to exactly what green, yellow, orange, or red is. So we're going to be a bit more mindful of that when we bring this back for review as we continue down and providing updates, just because we always want to be transparent about those things. I think there's one more slide, which Matt, oh, nope, there's two. So here's that MNO update. As you can see, even though we finished the 700 and so severity zero through four bugs in the warranty period. So here's kind of the requirements and the any type of bugs and of the different severities that are actually listed from sprint 11 to sprint 13. And then obviously sprints are just never ending when you're working in an agile maintenance and operation mode. And some will have quite a bit of requirements in it, some will be less, but the next slide, when we get to that, all that does is just solidify what Matt said. With where we are and the comfort level and the requirements and the bugs that we're seeing, we're going to switch to a two-week sprint as opposed to a single week. It allows a little bit more time for development. And if sometimes a week isn't enough due to the complexity of the different things that are getting slotted, and it can look kind of misleading if we originally plan, let's say, 50 requirements in the sprint, but then when we come back a month later, you see only 12 were done. But that's because of capacity planning. The rest that we knew would take two or three sprints just gets shifted down, and you just keep seeing that movement. So we want to just make sure that what we're we're showing and as we're tracking it are a bit more meaningful there as well. But we continue to, you know, find items, prioritize requirements, bugs, and we continue to close them out. You'll see like sprint 11, about 50, sprint 12, we closed almost 80, and then sprint 13, because of some of the complexities you're looking at of the 87 planned, only 16 were completed. So it just kind of, we just kind of want to make sure that it doesn't, all the information kind of ties better together. And next slide is, like I said before, we're just going to, one of the decisions made is we'll work, we're moving to do 2-week sprints. And that's just to support the increasing complexity of requests. And that's it for our informational update. So some really good, exciting, and positive movements on the program, as well as some continued same challenges. But we're still really confident in how we're doing. So with that, if there are any questions, we'd love to answer them for you.
Okay, I'll open it up maybe for any questions. Mr. Byers.
Yeah, you folks are working on an interface with the Foster Care Review Board for them to be able to request and receive information. Do you have any estimated go-live date on that new feature?
I believe that we're finishing up internal testing on that this week. We've worked with the board the last 2 weeks to show them those test environments and get them a little more familiarity with that. If all the testing finalizes this week, it'll get put into the next release on it, which would be Tuesday or Thursday of next week. But I don't know the specifics of that one. I didn't have that coming into this. I apologize.
Well, I just want to also point out that in the interim, they're using Childs to get information, even though it's dated information. So
Yeah, they've got read access to Childs on it, but they're also, we also email them all of the information, all of the documents that they're needing on it. So they are receiving the information. It's not as efficient as we'd like it to be and the solution that we came up with through OnBase will make it for them, but we're getting there. We're close.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the committee?
JR, yes. Jeff Fleetham here. This, I promise this will be the last, okay? Thanks. And thanks, Matt, for giving a little context to that. The heat map did look a little scary at the first visuals, kind of, but thanks for adding the context to that. I think that's always important to those kind of things on a visual metric like that. Sure. And I know all these things kind of take time, especially when you're, you know, your interim and your acting, you're just jumping into some new stuff. But I did have a question. You know, I think, and again, this I wasn't here when this project first started. So some of this stuff may have already been gone over. So please bear with me here. The original product started in like the end of 2016, I think, with an end date that was supposed to be someplace around the end of 2019. So there's already been an extension to June 30th, 2021 with an additional extension looking. What's the kind of time frame you're looking at the end of this? And is that going to require, and maybe this a little bit of my ignorance on the process, will that end up requiring additional approval from ITAC if we continue to go out further and further without an end date?
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, Matt. But Mr. Chairman, Mr. Fleetham, so it's actually a really good question. We have had to adjust the end date a couple of times for very specific dependencies throughout this program. The way the statute's written from a PIDGE process and what we will follow and work with ASSET is if it's required, if you're going to do an end date that's hits 10% or more, you come back to ITAC for approval. Because this program has been going on for so long, 10% is actually quite a lot of days, which we are not planning to hit that by any means once we complete the review, the review of Childs decommissioning and the remaining reports that have to be completed. However, we will absolutely follow the statute and follow the guidance of ASSET to make sure that if we do have to come back to the official change request, we will. Kind of what you just did today, an end date change request will provide the impacts, the updates, anything like that.
Thank you, James. Thank you, James.
Absolutely.
Hey, James, a couple points of clarification. Did you mention that the schedule is red due to scope, but the scope is currently green?
No. Apologies for that. I might have misspoke. Our scope is defined. So by our objective criteria, our scope is green. The schedule is not, because the scope that is left is going to creep past our June 30th barrier. So that's why the schedule is red, but the scope isn't, because as far as we are concerned, the remaining scope is very well defined. We know exactly what needs to be done and we're tracking to it. It is just now, as we're revisiting, now that the reports team has been built up, and knowing the dependencies from that final massive document migration, there just isn't an ability, and we know it, and we wanted to tell everybody as quickly as possible, it will not be done by June 30th. So as we were yellow when trending down last month, we're now at red because we know that it won't be June 30th, but we're not sure what that end date is yet, and that's the efforts we're going through right now.
Got it. So when you were rolling through the heat map, is that in everything M&O, are those all considered bugs or feature enhancements at this point, I'm assuming?
Yes, that's correct. It's any standard operational bugs that are found or any base enhancements that can be done in order to better support the business.
In addition to that, it's also business processes that have to be defined or redefined on it. So we don't have an actual bug that we're tracking on those. That's what's making it difficult for us to put some quantitative numbers to some of these fields. When we talk to the business and they say they're blocked and they're red, we look and the application, the system works fine. They're struggling with their business process on it. And so we're helping them now to define what that business process is, of which possibly new requirements come up that we put into an enhancement and put into our backlog. More than likely, we'll be modifying some business processes as we go along.
Got it. All right. So you showed some numbers on one of the bottoms of the slide. I think you had 679. This is like 679 SEVs 0 through 4 bugs opened, 189 closed. So that means today, as you're working through this stuff, you're sitting with 490 active, like 500.
So as the time that this was pulled, that's correct. Yes.
And then as you're rolling through the red ones, which are critical, ultimately, you'll determine which ones of those are processed, which ones of those may be SEV 0 or SEV 1s.
We identify them as we go, what their severity is. As they're identified, we identify the severity. We address the severity 0 is an emergency and all work stops until we fix it. The severity 1 goes, obviously gets prioritized into the next available sprint. Twos, some of that works around. Most of the time a two has a workaround, and so it's not as much of an issue. For example, we have one area that we've listed it as a severity two because it's just one person that does the work that's impacted. So while it's a nuisance to that person, there is a workaround for it, and it's only affecting one person. Severity threes and fours are put into our backlog and worked as needed. Those could be something as simple as we misspelled a name on a label on it. So instead of saying contracts, we say contract or something along those lines. So a lot of that is very cosmetic. A lot of it is changing the way a dashboard is viewed on it, which some aspects of a dashboard in Guardian can be changed by the user, and other aspects we don't want changed by the user because we want all users seeing that dashboard to see the same information. So that type of work.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? All right, that was just an informational update. So we have no voting on that or the prior update from education. Our next meeting is scheduled for June 16th, knowing that we are in the legislative and budgeting season, we may adjust that date as needed. We know we have some projects that are queued up for review. While most likely we will hold that date and then perhaps schedule a special session if we have some other items that need to get reviewed before our normal July date. So committee members, I'll just ask you to kind of be watching your calendars. Hopefully not too many of you will be headed out on vacation in June. So that's it for our content for today. With that, I will go ahead and call the meeting to a close. Thanks, everybody.
Let's stop the recording.
I stopped it on my end.
Sometimes it just takes a second. Screen stopped.